going to be in Nehemiah chapter 9 today, and we've been talking about our country. The message, I guess, was birthed through the president's slogan, Make America Great Again. I began to look at the word great in the Bible. It was over 900 times in the Bible. And when I started in Genesis, coming through the Bible, looking at the verses, when I got to Nehemiah, it just seemed like in my heart it painted a picture of what's going on in our country. And I'd like to continue in that series this morning. We'll be reading in Nehemiah chapter 9. But just a little bit of review, just the titles actually of the messages. We looked at Nehemiah chapter number 1, and we saw that there was great distress, and we called that message a great need. America has a great need. And then we saw in chapter 1 that there was a great God with great power that can meet that need. And then we came down in chapter number 4, and we saw that when God rose up Nehemiah, God rose up a remnant in Israel that determined to roll up their sleeves and do what needed to be done. There was great indignation. The enemy hated it. The enemy mocked. The enemy did everything that they could to cause the work to cease. And then we looked at chapter number 4 and chapter number 6 at a great work. And then we also looked last Wednesday night in chapter number 8 at great gladness. And that gladness was all centered around the book. Nehemiah said, bring the book. And then we saw where they opened the book. And then we saw where they read the book. And then they obeyed the book. Amen. And boy, I tell you, God just really brought revival. Let me just say this. Revival will come through prayer and the book. God uses the prayer, the prayers of God's people, and God uses the book. So if you will, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter number 9 this morning. And I don't know, I haven't numbered the messages, but there's another one or two coming after this. But anyway, in Nehemiah chapter number 9, I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I'd like to read several verses here in Nehemiah chapter number 9 in your hearing this morning. I believe it would be worthwhile. The Bible said in verse 1, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sin and the iniquity of their fathers. They stood up in their place, and they read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. And another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Every time I read that verse of Scripture, I'm amazed. Amen. That anybody would be dedicated enough to be willing to stand for a 1/4 part of the day and read the book of the law. And another 1/4 part, getting right with God and confessing their sin. Then stood upon the stairs the Levites. Drop down with me to verse number 5 here in the middle of the verse. They said, the Levites said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou art Lord alone, that hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein. Verse 7, thou didst choose Abram. And verse number 8, thou found his heart faithful. Verse number 9, he saw the affliction of the fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. He showed signs and wonders in verse number 10. He divided the sea before them in verse number 11. In verse number 12, he led them in the day by a cloudy pillar and in the night by a pillar of fire. He came to Mount Sinai in verse 13 and spake us with them from heaven and gave them right judgments and true laws and good statutes and commandments and made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, thy servant. We're almost there. And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. Now let me ask you a question. Have we had anybody in America that dealt proudly, that hardened their necks and hearkened not to the commandments of God? Verse 17, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion they appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou, oh, look at that. It's a sad story up to right there. Then God uses that little word again, but. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger. What's that next phrase say? And of great kindness. That's what I want to concentrate on today, is God's great kindness. And of great kindness, and forsooketh them not. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Well, I'm trying to say God's been good to America. I'm trying to say, beloved, that the goodness of God has a design about it. The goodness of God, according to Romans chapter number 2, is to lead us to repentance. It's a happy day in an individual's life when they realize, though they've been bad, God's been good. And they understand that that God that is so good will pardon them if they will but trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, that they can have their sins blotted out, and that heaven can be their home when they leave this world. That's a happy day in the life of a sinner. But let me tell you this, that's a happy day in the life of a nation. When a nation realizes we're on the wrong path, we're headed down the wrong road, and we understand that there's a God in heaven that's been good to us, and that He allows U-turns. He allows us to turn the ship around. He allows us to do what's right in His eyes instead of what's wrong. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, we thank You for these that have come. Thank You, God, for Your word. I pray, Lord, for clarity of speech, clarity of thought this morning. Help me, God, to say what You won't say. Leave off anything that don't need to be said. Our Father, I pray, God, that You'd fill us with the Holy Spirit. Take control of this service. Save the lost. Strengthen the Christian today. And God, would You help America? Lord, help us in this country, Lord, to realize how good You've been to us. Lord, You didn't give us this liberty so that we could sin. You gave us this liberty that we might be able to serve You according to the dictates of our heart, and worship You, Lord, according to the dictates of this precious book. Help us now, Father. God will give You glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'm going to preface each one of the points in this message, and I'm going to tell you how many there are, because that'll get you praying. When I was pastoring down at Liberty, I would say now in closing. And then I would say this, if you just got excited, you're a visitor. Amen, Miss Norma. If I say now in closing, don't get real excited. They know better than to get excited if I say now in closing. We're still going to be here a little while, in other words. But I got 7 things I want to share with you from this portion of Scripture. Then we'll be in the end of the chapter in another message, okay? And God's great kindness, it's there to lead us to repentance. And I'm excited about these things. Number one, because of God's great kindness, we have fellowship. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at the Bible with me, please, in this verse number 1. The Bible said, now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled. Because of God's great kindness, He's allowed us in our country the freedom to assemble. Listen to me. The separation of church and state has been twisted. It's been turned around. My friend, that separation was not to keep the church out of the government. Are you listening to me? It was to keep the government out of the church. And listen, it's gotten all turned around and all messed up. But because of God's great kindness and to this nation, we have the privilege to meet together, assemble together, and worship the Lord, pray together, preach the Word of God together, sing together. And because of God's great kindness, we still have that liberty. The Bible said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father, with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Let me just say this to you. You'll not find a Christian that's full of God's joy that doesn't have the proper place in their heart for God's church and the assembling together of the people of God. He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Here it is, Brother Napper. But even so much the more, as you see the day, that day that we heard about in Sunday school, that day's approaching, amen. And that ought to cause us to want to meet together more and more, not less and less. In these days, God's great kindness, because of it, we have the privilege to fellowship. The songwriter said, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Glory to God leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Aren't you glad we have a place to lean this morning? Aren't you glad? Listen, there's so many things that are uncertain. Aren't you glad that it's certain that you and I can lean on Him this morning, the one that gave Himself for us? Secondly, in the message today, not only because of God's great kindness do we have fellowship, but because of God's great kindness, we have forgiveness. Oh, beloved friend, listen. You say, preacher, do you need forgiveness? Oh, yes. I needed it when I was a sinner. And I need it now that I'm a saint. Somebody help me. I like what Brother Mitchell said. Brother Napper, you'll use this. It's a great statement. Brother Mitchell said, if you've ever repented, you're still repenting. I like that, honey. It's an active thing. Amen. In the life of the Christian, we're to examine ourselves. And the closer we get to Him, the more that we see we need to repent. And we need to get right with Him. The Bible said in verse number 2, the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sin and the iniquity of their fathers. I didn't mean to say this, but here it comes. I asked the Lord to lead me. Beloved, one of the reasons we don't have meetings like we used to is because we go out there and hobnob with the world. Are you listening to me? Amen. Here, beloved, listen, they were separated from the strangers. Beloved friend, listen, that the strangers didn't have the impact. Listen, I can't even check my email anymore. And every time I pull it up, just the headlines make me sick. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved friend, listen, if we're not careful, the television and the radio, it'll drag us down when we ought to stick our nose in this book, put this book in our heart, and be, my friend, listen, in a place where we're able to confess our sin and get forgiveness from the God of heaven. Amen. I've often wondered if our church services aren't backwards sometimes. If we shouldn't just give an invitation at the beginning of the service, get our hearts right and clean and pure before God, then we might worship Him, amen, the way that we ought to do. Because of God's great kindness, we have fellowship. Because of God's great kindness, we have forgiveness. The Bible said they stood and confessed their sin and the iniquities of their fathers. John said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Beloved friend, that wasn't written to sinners. That was written to the saints of God. If we say that we have no sin, we're lying. We're deceiving ourselves. But thank God if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Because of God's great kindness, we have faith. The Bible said in verse number 3, and they stood up in their place and they read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day. Another 1/4 part of the day they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. You say, preacher, I don't know where you saw faith in that. Well, let me give it to you. Romans 10:17 said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Beloved friend, when they stood up and read in the book of the law, and my friend, they stuck around for 1/4 part of the day, I believe God injected faith into their hearts and into their life. And they begin to remember the days of old. They remembered, my friend, walking with God. Wouldn't it be good? Hallelujah. In America, if America would remember where she started and remember where she's come from and turn around, amen, and go back to that place of greatness once again. Because of God's greatness and His great kindness, we have faith. The Bible said here, you say, preacher, well, that's up to you whether you believe or not. I'm going to tell you something right here. Listen to this verse of Scripture. The Bible said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, this is Paul, Romans 12:3, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now listen to me this morning. How many can say, preacher, I'm just being honest. To some degree, at least, I have faith. How many say, I believe this whole book. I believe the Bible. The Bible is God's Word. Well, let me tell you where it come from. Listen to the rest of the verse. The Bible said, don't think yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Whatever measure of faith that you have this morning, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It ought to humble us, not make us proud. Amen. That God has given us faith because of His great kindness. We have faith. And then because of His great kindness, we should be willing to follow. Look at verse number 4. There stood upon the stairs the Levites, Jeshua and Bani, and I'm going to say it like this, the rest of them. And they cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Watch this now. I believe that because of God's great kindness, we ought to be willing to follow the example of the Levites. I believe we ought to be willing to stand up. I believe we ought to be willing to cry out to the Lord. I believe we ought to be willing to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Look here, if you will, in verse number 6. They said, thou, even thou, art Lord alone. One of the things that's gotten America in trouble is we're trying to, get more than one God involved. Let me tell you something right now. There's only one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, there's many religions and there's many steeples, but there's only one way to heaven. That's through the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, thou, even thou art Lord alone. Thou made the heaven. If you believe that, say amen. The heaven of heavens with all their hosts. The earth. How many believes He made the earth? All that are therein. The seas and all that is therein. Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Oh, beloved friend, listen. One thing's going to make heaven heaven's worship. We're going to praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We're going to sing the song of the redeemed. Number 5, let's look here. We ought to, because of God's great kindness, we should be willing to follow. Let me give you this. I missed something here. You have the example of the Levites, but you have the example of Abram. Look at verse 7. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur the Chaldees, and gaveth him the name Abraham. Now listen, if that's the only verse you had, you could almost picture in your heart that God put a lasso around Abram and said, come on, boy, you're coming out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees. In other words, Brother Johnny brought him out. If that's the only verse you have, but I want to show you another verse. And get this in your heart, Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he afterward received for an inheritance, obeyed. In other words, God stood over here and said, Abram, come on, boy. And Abram said, I'm coming, Lord. He obeyed. The Bible said he followed him, not knowing where he was going. He just knew, I'm following him. And that path, my friend, is the right path. Oh, beloved, you have the example of the Levites, the example of Abram. Number 5. God's great kindness. Because of God's great kindness, we should be faithful. Man, I've been looking forward to getting right here. How many of you have ever heard of a man by the name of Robert Moffat? Okay, I'm right. In other words, I thought it good to give you a little bit of history. So I'm going to read a little bit about a man by the name of Robert Moffat. Remember the point in the message right here. If you're faithful today, it's because of God's great kindness. God's been good to us. Amen. And you say, preacher, I don't know where you got that in the scripture. Look at verse number 8. and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and made a covenant with him, and gave the land. By the way, America, nobody else in the world got any business messing with that land. God gave it to Abraham. God gave it to his people. God told Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. And beloved, that promise is still good today. Now notice, Abraham was faithful. You see, he said, to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. I want to say something about faithfulness right here. It'll bless you, I believe. There was a Scottish pioneer missionary to South Africa for over 50 years. He opened mission stations. Now we're going to go backwards here. I'm going to tell you what God used him to do, and then I'm going to tell you how he got started, okay? So we stay with me and make a point about being faithful. He's missionary to Africa for over 50 years. He opened mission stations in the interior, translated the Bible into the language of the Bechuanas. Did I get that right, Miss Eve? I had to practice that last night. Bechuanas, that's a tribe there. And he wrote two missionary books on South Africa, Labors and Scenes in South Africa, and Rivers of Water in a Dry Place. His oldest daughter married David Livingstone. When I think of Robert Moffat, I'm rightly reminded of the scripture in Zechariah 4:10. For who hath despised the day of small things? Keep that in your mind. Small things. Who hath despised the day of small things? It seemed a small thing to some godly men in a southern Scotland church when a boy about 4 years old from a home of poor but pious parents knelt at an altar to pray. So a four-year-old boy came down and knelt at an altar. You got the picture? Watch this now. His decision was despised by the elders as one who was too young to understand. Thank God one unnamed, unknown to us brother, he knelt with him and prayed with Robbie. That's what they called him, Robbie. Moffat may well have been converted to Christ then. Who knows? If not, the Word of God said, or they said here in this testimony, it was commencement of the chain of events that led to his conversion, to the opening of the doors of evangelism, to the uncharted depths of the dark continent of Africa. Now, I've already got your attention. I'm talking about a four-year-old boy. Listen, the elders, leave that boy alone. He's too young. He can't understand. But somebody went up there and knelt down and prayed with him. Let me just go ahead and give you my position right here. Some of you already know it. I do not believe in coaching youngins, pumping youngins, priming youngins, trying to talk youngins into doing anything. But I'm going to tell you, there comes a day and any youngin walks down here and wants to pray, this pastor will kneel down alongside of them and pray with them. Amen. I believe the God of heaven knows what's going on. How many knows that's right? Amen. They may not understand, but let me just say this. They may. Anybody that's raised youngins knows that they mature at different ages, and understand things at different ages. Olivia's not in here, is she? But Olivia already knows when she's lying to mommy. Olivia already knows when she's lying on Papaw. Not just lying to mommy, but lying on Papaw. Can you all believe that? I can. Look at her mama. I'm telling you, beloved friend, God knows. Listen to this illustration now and tell you a little bit more about his story. This is what he said here. Moffat returned to England only one time before returning to die. On that visit, he persuaded Livingstone to go to Africa instead of China. Livingstone built mighty upon the foundation that Moffat so aptly had laid, yet incredibly, Moffat outlived Livingstone 10 more years. He had opened jungle villages to the gospel. He had braved the dangers, the deadlines of African jungles. He had withstood medicine men like Elijah, had withstood the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. He had preached, translated, instructed Africans to read, write, sing, and farm. He had exalted Christ and magnified the ministry of a missionary. August the 9th, 1883, he wound his watch with a trembling hand. For the last time, he said, and it was so. The next morning, the 88-year-old soldier of the cross was dead. With 84 years of life, for his Lord since that night. As a four-year-old boy, he had come to Christ. For who hath despised the day of small things? Now let me give you the illustration about faithfulness. How many's with me so far? All right, there's the man. Here's the illustration. An elderly preacher was rebuked by one of his deacons one Sunday morning before the service. They said, boy, this will help you. Somebody shout right here. Brother Steve, this will help our visitation program. Every Sunday school teacher, this will help you. Every mom, every dad. God's just saying, be faithful. An elderly preacher was rebuked by one of his deacons one Sunday morning before the service. Pastor, said the man, something must be wrong with your preaching and your work. There's been only one person added to the church in a whole year, and he's just a boy. Anybody want to guess who the boy was? The minister listened with his eyes moistening and his thin hand trembling. I feel it all, he replied, but God knows I've tried to do my duty. On that day, the minister's heart was heavy as he stood before his flock. By the way, let me just stop right there and teach you something. Anytime you have to lay something real heavy on the pastor, if at all possible, wait till after church on Sunday night. How many knows what I just now said? There'll come times when you got to lay something heavy on him. That's what he's here for. But dear God, if at all possible, don't lay it on him right before the service or Sunday afternoon when he has to preach again Sunday night. Or do it after church on Wednesday night. I just thought I'd stop and throw that out there before maybe it happens. This guy cornered the preacher before church. On that day, the minister's heart was heavy. He stood before his flock. As he finished the message, he felt a strong inclination to resign. After everyone else had left, that one boy came to him and asked, "Do you think if I worked hard for an education, I could become a preacher, perhaps a missionary?" Again, tears welled up in the minister's eyes. He said, "Ah, this heals the ache I feel." He said, "Robert, I see the divine hand now. May God bless you, my boy. Yes, I think you will become a preacher." Many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was spoken with reverence. Nobles invited him into their homes. He had added many souls through his ministry to the Lord Jesus and his church, reaching even some of Africa's most savage chiefs. His name was Robert Moffat, the same Robert who years before had spoken to the pastor that Sunday morning in the old Scottish kirk, "Lord, help us to be faithful. Then give us grace to leave the results up to you." I say hallelujah. God wants us to be faithful and leave the results up to him. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, because of God's great kindness, like the children of Israel, we can come to a place where we can be faithful. Then number six in the message, let me give you these real quickly. That, my friend, is talking about our faithfulness. What about his faithfulness? How many's glad God is faithful? Because of God's great kindness, he is faithful. God is faithful. Look at some of it in verse number 9. "And did us see the affliction of our father and heard us their cry." You say, "Preacher, what's God faithful to do?" He's faithful to see. He's faithful to hear. The word of God said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. So God is faithful to see and to hear. And then God is faithful to show. The Bible said in verse 10, he showed signs and wonders upon Pharaoh. How many loves it when God shows up? And then God shows out. And everybody knows it wasn't the pastor, it wasn't the teacher, it wasn't the deacons, it wasn't the church, but it was the God of heaven that moved, amen, in their midst. And that's how they knew. And then he's faithful to help. The Bible said in verse number 11, "Thou didst divide the sea before them." Can you imagine what the children of Israel were feeling? Backed up against the Red Sea. "Moses, have you lost your mind? Here comes Pharaoh and his army. There's no way out. Let me tell you something right now. As long as God's still in heaven, there's a way out. Listen, he said he would make a way of escape. And beloved, he parted the Red Sea and they went over on dry land. I say this morning, God is as faithful today as he was then. Amen. And if my friend America will turn to him, they'll enjoy his faithfulness. He's faithful to lead. Look at verse 12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar and at night by a pillar of fire. You say, preacher, we don't have no cloudy pillar in the day to lead us. We don't have a pillar of fire at night to lead us. I just say this. Yes, we do. This book right here, honey, I'm telling you what's the truth. That's why the Bible said, you see, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, yes, we have a book to lead us. And God is faithful to lead his little children along. Amen. He leads his dear children along. He's faithful to speak to us. Thou came down upon Mount Sinai and spake us with them from heaven. And then he's faithful to feed us. Thou gave us bread in verse number 15 from heaven for their hunger. Oh, beloved friend, I want to say this morning, God is faithful. Then winding the message up this morning because of God's great kindness. Listen to me carefully. We will never be forsaken. Look what the Bible said in verse number 17. They refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them. I wonder sometimes when people, I'm just going to go ahead and plug this in right here. When people stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, when people stand, my friend, and we sing about that God and about that flag and about this great country, the patriotism, I wonder if they're even thinking about Fort McHenry and if they're even thinking about the blood that's been shed that we might live free in this nation and worship God in this nation. Listen, now we've even gotten to the place where some won't stand. I'm not against them not standing. I just wish they'd kneel in some other country. You say, that's mean, preacher. If you don't love this country, get out of it. Our men, through the years, and now many ladies in the military, have fought, lost limbs, lost life. Some of them have lost their mind. They didn't lose a limb. They didn't lose their life. But they can't even function like you and I do because of what's went on in their heart and in their mind. They fought for that old flag. They fought for the freedom that you and I enjoy. And I tell you, listen, 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 listen. God did not forsake. You say, preacher, why is there hope in America? Because God has not forsaken us. You say, preacher, how do you know that God will not forsake this country? Listen to me carefully right here. As long as there's a remnant of God's people in this country, he has promised that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And we ought to bless his name for that this morning. The Bible said here, this verse, they refused to obey. Yes, they did. The Bible said they weren't mindful of the wonders. They hardened their necks. In their rebellion, they appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Let me just say this morning. That's one of the reasons that so many in America, and it ain't as many as you think, but there's a lot of people, a lot of it's hired. A lot of it's people that's got money paying people. Well, that's all right. You don't have to believe me. Paying people to protest, paying people to tear stuff up. I tell you what, I'm for freedom of speech. Walk around all you want to, but I believe the first window you break, the first police officer you hit, the first thing you set on fire, you ought to go directly to jail and do not pass go. Amen. That's exactly what I believe. Never in this country have we been given a
right to destroy somebody else's property. Amen. I believe that God said right here in this verse, He's a God ready to pardon. He's a God gracious and merciful. He's a God that's slow to anger. Let me ask you, is there anybody besides me that has wondered? I'm just asking, with the babies that we've killed, with the liquor that we promote, with the drugs that we promote, anybody with the illicit sex, premarital, extramarital, has anybody wondered with the gambling that's been legalized? Has anybody wondered with same-sex marriage that's been legalized why God hasn't already slapped us up beside the head in this country? Right, here's the answer. He's a God that's slow. I don't mean it ain't coming. That means He's a God that's slow to anger. He gave even wicked, read about Jezebel, probably if not the wickedest, one of the wickedest women that ever set foot on the earth. And God gave her space to repent. I believe God is giving America space to repent. May God help us because of His great kindness not to turn away from Him. We could pray for the lady that made the phone call a while ago. We could pray that the next time she takes a sandwich and goes like that, she might realize who gave her the sandwich. She might realize the next time she gets a drink of water, she might realize. She might realize the next time she wakes up, having slept through the night, she might realize who woke her up. She might realize why there's a roof over her head. She might realize the goodness of God. Because the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. I believe with all of my heart, the Bible said here, they're gracious, slow to anger, of great kindness, and forsook us them not. I believe God's been good to America. I believe that America has an opportunity to return to the God of our fathers. I believe that, you know, Brother Napper, you talked about seemingly the doors are being squeezed in the prisons. And you and I both know why chaplains don't call back. Because they know what the Rock of Ages preaches. They know the message that the Rock of Ages is preaching brings results. That tears up their little playhouse. They know that when we read our Bible, it still says he and she. Did you know that that's in the prison system now? Some of the prisons you're not allowed to call a he, a he. If he wants to be called she, then you have to call he, she. Brother Napper was telling me last night that two of the prisons got so fed up with it that they went ahead and shipped the he, she's out to the she, she's. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm telling you, we have lost our cotton-picking mind in this country. But God is a God that's slow to anger. He's gracious. He's of great kindness. Now, I'm going to tell you, Brother Rose, when you study the children of Israel, they blew it a lot, didn't they? But He didn't forsake them. He didn't forsake them. How many is glad God hasn't forsaken us? If you're here this morning and you've never been born again, let me say this to you. Because of His great kindness, you breathe this morning. Because of His great kindness, you get to come into a place like this morning where the Word of God is preached and sung and magnified. And beloved, if you're not saved, I would encourage you, trust Jesus today. There's not a one of us, pastor included, that can promise you that we'll be back tonight. I have every intention of being back tonight. But honey, if Jesus comes, I won't be back here tonight. And I believe I'll be with a lot of folk right here, amen, around the throne. Around the throne. At his feet. Thanking him for what he's done. Today, if you're here, if you're a Christian, perhaps you've taken for granted. I think we're guilty. Somebody help me. The blessings that we have in this country, they could be stripped in a heartbeat. May God help us to be thankful, to be praying. And beloved, listen. The enemy has reared its ugly head. If you have a congressman and you have a senator that's doing the right thing and taking the right stand, you ought to just go ahead like the little boy did to the preacher that day and just get on there, get their email, send them a note, encouraging them to keep on keeping on. Because I'll guarantee you, it's kind of like anything, really. You don't hear much of the positive, but when the negative comes, there it is, amen. May God help us not to neglect the one that has shown us so much great kindness. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we sure do thank you this morning for this opportunity and privilege to be in the house of God. Lord, you've been good to Miss Eve and I. Oh God, been good to our family. Lord, I pray that the family circle will be unbroken. I pray for my cousin Pete this morning, Lord. Last time I saw him, he told me he was ready to go. I pray, God, if he has to leave here, heaven will be his home. I ask you, Father, this morning in this invitation, Lord, to speak to hearts. Lord, there could be somebody here today. Down deep in their heart, they know nothing's ever changed. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God, I thank you for a day when you made a difference. And I pray, Lord, for that individual today. Doesn't know you. That one, Lord, whose their walk has grown cold. God, I pray there'd be a warmth today. Lord, I realize through the years that one thing that always warms my heart, and I believe it warms your heart, is when we bow to thank you for your goodness. Help us today, Lord, in our country, that this great kindness that you've extended would lead us to a place of repentance. In Jesus' name.